This is Microphone Check, hip-hop from NPR Music. I'm Franny Kelly. Rapper Freddie Gibbs moved away from his hometown of Gary, Indiana, more than 10 years ago. He went to L.A., where he became friends with Madlib, the producer revered for his work in the Loot Pack, as a solo artist under the name Quasimodo. For that time, Blue Note Records let him do whatever he wanted in their vault, and the albums he's made collaboratively with heavyweights J Dilla, MF Doom, Percy P, and Talib Kweli. Freddie Gibbs and my co-host, Ali Shaheed Muhammad, are quite certain that Piñata, the album Madlib has now made with Gibbs, is the most gangster project Madlib has ever worked on. He couldn't join us in the studio.
Like I said, I don't think he made nothing this gangster before in his career.
And
I don't think it's no gangster rappers that rap as good as I rap.
Freddie sat down to talk about what he calls his homified album.
This is Microphone Check, hip-hop from NPR Music. I'm Franny Kelly.
I'm Ali Shaheed Muhammad.
And I'm Freddie Gibbs, man.
What up?
Man, it's a pleasure to be in the building, man. It's a pleasure.
Happy to have you here.
Especially to be here with you, man. So you already know.
Who am I? It's a
pleasure.
Well, it's good, Freddie Gibbs.
Man, it's crazy, man. I just dropped my new record and got a show tonight in New York. Sold out, man. Things can be better, you know.
How's that feel?
Feels great. It's mind blowing. I'm still like, isn't this surreal to me? You know what I mean? Like the point that I'm at with what I'm working with and the odds that I was against and all the doors closing in my face and everybody telling me no. So you know, to be here right now is it's a blessing, man. It's God, you know.
Mm. Piñata. How'd you come up with the title?
You know, the name of the record is Cocaine Piñata, you know what I mean? We got to call it Piñata so we can sell it in the stores. Walmart and Target don't like that whole cocaine thing. But, it just came to me in a dream, honestly. That's what I tell everybody, you know what I mean? It came to me in a dream. Madlib had never, made a record this street at all, you know what I mean? And I think that I just wanted to culminate everything that I was doing and everything that I had been through into one album. And it was just like, man, that's like a piñata, you know what I mean? If you break it open, there's a bunch of trees gonna fall out. So, you know what I mean? And that's the direction I wanted to go with it.
And how long did it take to put this album together?
Honestly, man, to be honest, I was working on this album for like 3 years. In between working on my other projects. Because you can't work on another kind of project and then work on this. Yeah. At the same time, because it's totally different.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what's the difference between this and, like, the other mixtapes?
Definitely the beats. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The beats are they're different. It's more dirty loops and, you know what I mean, samples and things of that nature. So, you know, a lot of the, you know, on my other tapes, it's more synthesized type things. And, it's still, like, sample-based production on there, like I get from, like, Static Selector and guys like mm-hmm. that. You know what I mean? Shout out Static Selector. For the most part, you know, the difference between this record is, you know, definitely the production.
Did you, how did you and Madlib connect?
Nothing real crazy. We just got mutual friends. His manager cool, my manager, we all just, you know, link up, drink, smoke, and made a record. It wasn't nothing, no industry red tape, no, you know what I mean, no lawyers, nothing crazy. It was just like, let's do this record, let's put it together and put it out.
Did you have some of the songs, like, written up before you got the music, or was it, what's the process?
No, I never do that. I never write a song before I get the track, because I just feel like that I have to make a marriage with that track, yeah, with my raps, you know what I mean? And if it's something that's already there, it ain't gonna really fit, I don't think, you know what I mean? It's like when you marry in a, like, if you get divorced and you go marry a new chick, you know what I mean? Like, you know, if it was me, I would want to get a new house, new car, everything. I wouldn't even want to put in the same house that I had my old wife in. So, you know what I mean? So I just like to, you know, make a, you know, start fresh and just, you know, come with something fresh for a fresh track.
And you guys met in L.A.?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We, you know, I've been in L.A. like almost 10 years. I'm, you know, almost like a native. So, he's been living there for years. So, he's born there. So, with all the, you know, weed smoking and music making going on out there, you know what I mean? We was bound to link up, so.
So you work with people from very different places, mm-hmm, and you don't feel the need to stay in Indiana in the Midwest.
Mm-mm.
What does your hometown, like, what does it give you, though?
My hometown gives me that. I mean, I go back all the time. I go back every month, every other month. You know what I mean? My family's still there. My best friend, my closest friend still live there. It gives me that base. You know what I mean? This is where I started from. This is what the things I rap about. You know, so I could never, just let my sense of a home dwindle away. Not for nothing. You know what I mean? Like I said, I'm always there. My family's there. You know, those are my roots. So I make sure I'm always connected to that. You know what I mean? No matter what, every record, every day. You know what I mean? I'm talking to somebody from Gary. Or like I said, every other month I'm going back home. So, I'm deeply rooted there. You know, half the people that don't like me, but, they'll get over it.
What is Gary? Can you describe the city?
Yeah, Gary is an old factory town. So, right outside Chicago. From my standpoint, my family migrated there in the 50s and 60s from Mississippi, Sardis, Mississippi. Shout out to Sardis, Mississippi. But, my family migrated there just like a lot of black families in that area. They migrated there to get jobs. Mm-hmm. To get those factory jobs, that steel mill job, a lot of people from the South migrated to Detroit for the automobile business, like I said, Gary had U.S. Steel. It was basically the largest steel plant in the country at the time. So, late 70s, early 80s rolled around, a lot of layoffs start happening, and, the crack era ushered in. And when you got a lot of drugs and a bad economical situation, you could just imagine what happens to the city. You know what I mean? It deteriorates. Yeah. And I say the city probably started deteriorating when I was about, 5 or 6 years old. And since then, it's just been on a steady decline. So, the things I rap about are, 100% real. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I don't rap about those things to tear my city down. I give you the reality of what it is and what I've been through and how it is living in those conditions in Gary, Indiana. But, at the same time, I'm trying to shed light on it so that possibly, we can figure out something to reverse that deterioration process.
When the city was thriving, what was happening culturally?
When the city was thriving, when was that, in the 60s? the Jacksons, that's what was happening when the city was thriving. it was the Jackson 5, but, after that, it was, it wasn't much hope left there,
In 1972, there was the National Black Political Convention.
Correct.
Did that have any impact? Is that, ever talked about?
I definitely can say that... That probably scared a lot of white people away that lived in Gary. You know what I mean? You got what we called in the city's white flight. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of those people that lived in Gary in those areas, they moved because, we had a black mayor that was all about black power, Richard Hatcher at the time. You know what I mean? He was pushing that line. You know what I mean? And he was militant, and rightfully so. You know what I mean? We were going through a time in America where you needed that black pride, and we needed something to be proud of. But with that said, I think that drove a lot of people out of the city that were making money and spending money within the economical circle. So, that drove a lot of the businesses out, in turn. You know what I mean? I hate to say that you push the white people out, you push the money out, but essentially that's what happened. Yeah. You know what I mean? And, when they left, they moved to, Hobart and Merrillville and, neighboring, little towns like that. They just went, South Lake and, and they took their businesses and influence with them. And they built malls and things of that nature and movie theaters and things that we all could have had in Gary. They just built them south of Gary, in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you were to go to some of these places that they occupy now in the 70s and 80s, and it was nothing there, cornfields. You know what I mean? But now they have multiple malls, multiple movie theaters, endless amounts of business. It's just a real direct stream of commerce. We don't have that in Gary at all. We don't have a movie theater. We don't have a Walmart. Wow. We don't have a Target. You know what I mean? We don't have big name businesses opening up in our city to bring those jobs and those, to kind of, battle those economic woes that we have. You know what I mean?
So if that's the case, then is it still highly affected by, you know, the drugs?
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. I mean, crack, not so much. I mean, that's kind of, you see that in everywhere in America, kind of like dying down a little. People still smoke crack, don't get me twisted. But, I mean, it's more so, man, these, the youth, man. Like, it's, I think they're about to close, what, 3 or 4 schools in Gary. Like, we have no funding for, you know, school board, you know what I mean? My mom does a program where she works with a program that provides school supplies. Mm-hmm. For the children, you know what I mean? And I'm about to go back and donate to that. You know, we do that every year, man, because the city just can't hack it.
Wow.
You know, and it's tough, you know what I mean? And it's not, I can't, you know, you can't really point the finger at anybody because it's like, you know, what would be the point of that? You know what I mean?
Are people leaving as a result, like in Detroit, like how most people just kind of like, it's a ghost
town?
You
hit it right on the head. If you look at Detroit, you're just looking at, you look at Gary, it's a smaller Detroit. Mm. That's exactly what it is. Exactly what it is. Totally.
Wow.
Same crime rate, drugs, deteriorating business. You know what I mean? At least Detroit got professional teams and things of that nature. They got the Lions, they got the Tigers, you know what I'm saying? The Pistons.
They just got the Lions and the Tigers back.
Yeah, they barely hanging on to them by 3, but they got them, though. You know what I mean? It's still some type of sense of, you know, pride there in Detroit. So, you know, they doing their thing. No, a lot of my family lives in Detroit, too. Matter of fact, my Uncle Jimmy, he just died. Recipes of my Uncle Jimmy, he just died. He lived in Detroit. So, you know, like I said, most of my family migrated from Mississippi, and half of them went to Detroit, half of them went to Gary. So,
I was wondering about a song on the album, Watts. I thought, is that like a real relative?
Yeah, that's definitely a real relative. That's my uncle. That's my uncle, my mom's brother.
I felt it because, I mean, you know, we all got.
Yeah, it's one in every family, and I had to display mine.
I was wondering if you did that as a reminder to yourself.
Right.
Is that why you put it on the album?
Definitely. Keep me grounded. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's only certain people that could talk to me like that. And, you know, he one of them. And, you know, when he mad, he don't mind, you know, speaking his mind. And like I said, man, things like that, you know, humble me, make me never, ever forget where I came from. You know what I mean? And the dispute that he had was definitely ridiculous. You know what I mean? So he just called my phone because he was mad. And, you know what I mean? He's been a real source of joy for me my whole life, man. I've been laughing at him my whole life, you know. So it's cool, man. I love him to death, and like I said, man, I definitely put that on the record to, you know, keep me humble and remind me, man, this is where I come from, and you know, my family still got the right to talk crazy to me if they want to.
That's I love your attitude, your spirit about it, because it made me wonder. I was like, you know, certain words is just like a straight violation, but when it comes to a relative, it's just like,
yeah,
it's like, how do you rectify that? And I was also wondering, I wonder if it was that big of a deal, and were you able to just have a conversation and be like, okay, hear me out, and then he would hear you out and be like, oh, okay, no big deal. But I'm like, some of those words were just so cutting. I'm like,
if you meet this guy, you will know that you cannot have a real conversation with this guy. You have to just take the good with the bad and just let it roll. Let him say what he's going to say, and just, you know, that builds your skin up. If you got tough skin, you could deal with it. You know what I mean? Yeah. He been cursing me out like that since I was 4 or 5 years old. So.
You weak, bitch.
It don't really affect me no more.
That's crazy.
It's funny to me.
It is funny. But I'm just saying, I mean, you put it up there.
We real close. He'll cuss me out like that and then tell me he loved me 5 minutes later.
That's
so.
What I was wondering.
Yeah, we super close. So, you know, that's just how we rock.
You said this is the most street rock for Mad Lib.
Definitely.
And I just wonder, like, if... specifically, like, with Real, mm-hmm. the song Real.
Correct.
I was just listening. I was like, man, I'm wondering how he's feeling about that. Like, that has nothing to do with me sort of a position. or it's like, yo, this is,
Right.
You know, we ride, whatever it is, it is.
You know what, man? That ain't got nothing to do with him. You know what I mean? That don't got nothing to do with nobody but me and the person I was talking about on that record. You know what I mean? And like I said, that, you know, that's not the end-all, be-all of what I am. You know what I mean? Every record is an expression of, you know, how I was feeling at the time. And, you know, that's how I was feeling at the time. So I felt that I just wanted to express that. You know, I don't want to, you know, make that the, you know, driving force behind the whole album. It's definitely one of the best songs on the album. I can't even front on that. It's definitely one of the one of my favorite songs on there, whether it's a diss record or not. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just, you know, that's how I felt that day. And that's the way it came out. And, you know, if I feel like that another day, you're going to get another one. So I suggest that don't nobody make me feel like that. And I won't have to do that to you.
Understood.
Can we say who it is? I've been slanging bangers since 9-4. I thought the world was at my feet when I linked up with Snow. But I refuse to be a slunky, so we don't kick it no more. Straight to the facts, nigga. I looked up to you, put that on my mama. Signed a deal with you and never asked you for a dollar. Cause I was down with CTE, plus I was getting cheese. I played my fuck ass contract with the lick read. Thought I'd say this shit cause you ain't man enough to come discuss it. You wanna be Jay-Z, nigga, you just a fucking puck. Gary boys ain't about talking, so bitch, I had to show you. Don't make me expose you to those that don't know you. Manny say to the realest nigga in it, motherfucker, check it. But Bro said you scared to drop a diss record. No nuts, got the whole team looking weak. Guess that's why they ran up on you at the BET. LA red carpet, yeah, I was geek. You couldn't take security, so we ain't take a seat. I played the fool before, yo, a hoe I never be. They searched the two of us in Milwaukee, had that 44 with me. ESPN until the end, I feed the killers. Pray the Lord to take my breath, or I be like this monkey nigga. Just a whole lot of rapping with no motherfucking action. Seeing Gucci by itself while we was 30 deep at Magic. And you didn't bust a great, was shook from the gate. It make it seem to me the gangsta shit you keep me fake. Cause all my enemies, I put them suckers in their place. Don't take them shades,
yeah, it's Jesus. I say his name on the record. Ain't no secret, ain't no, you know what I mean? Me and him do not get along. Ain't nothing to play with. It is what it is.
You guys, to me, represent like two different approaches to talking about struggles. You're very like warts and all, and sometimes with Tribe, you know, it's like, let's uplift, let's focus on what's possible. What do you get out of airing the dirty laundry?
It's therapeutic for me, man. You know what I mean? I just, you know, it's good to get a lot of things off my chest, and if I could do that through music and entertain people with it, then, you know, it's poetry in motion. That's how I look at it, you know what I mean? You know, some things I don't get to talk about with, you know, certain people, or some things I'm, you know, not comfortable talking about, like, in a regular conversational setting. Mm-hmm. But when I get it into music, it's easier, you know, it's way easier, you know. I can't really talk about, you know, me running down, chasing somebody around the corner with a gun, trying to kill him, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. In a conversational setting, it feels kind of weird. But, you know, when I do it on the music, it's like, oh, yeah, it's like I'm painting a picture for you. It's like I'm giving you a vivid interpretation of what I'm trying to say.
Does it feel comfortable to perform a song like that?
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. I love performing. That's definitely one of my favorite things to do. I just act like it ain't nobody in the crowd, and I just rock like I'm at home by myself. And, like, I don't, like, every time I do a show, I got to ask, you know, everybody, like, did I do good? Do I do all right? Because I'm, like, my ears are on mute. I can't hear the crowd noise. I can't hear nothing. All I know is the cue for me to rap. That's all I know. I go into, I'm a straight robot on stage. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know what's going on nowhere else, but it's just me and the mic. You know?
Our colleague interviewed you a few years ago, and it was all about performing. It was right before you played a show at CMJ, I think in like 2010.
Uh-huh.
And you told him your pre-show ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it was praying.
Definitely.
Do you pray for something, or do you pray that something doesn't happen?
I always pray for something. I don't ever pray for nothing negative. You know what I mean? I always be like, yo, let me do this right. You know, God, let me go do what you put me here to do. That's really it. You know, it's just 20-second conversation. Like, yo, let me go execute. Execution, that's the main thing. Just execute the objective.
Yeah. You know? And when you spoke to him, you were sort of just starting to tour because you were working, like, without mm-hmm. a label and everything, and so...
Still working without a label.
Right.
From the get-go.
So you... But you were making most of your money from shows. Is that still the case?
I make a lot of money off of sales, too, selling these records. You know what I mean? I might, you know, every project might only sell, like, $30,000 to $50,000, but I mean, I'm getting, you know, $7-$8 every CD. I make more record than, I mean, more money than per record than, you know, an artist on a major label. I could definitely say that.
Because you got the Master P deal, you say?
Definitely got the Master P deal.
I'm about it. You know why I say that? Because I got a Master P deal. 85%. Will you believe it? Check my royalty statement. Bitch.
Shout out to Empire Distribution, man. Those are my partners. They distribute all my music, and you know, ESGN, we put it out, and it's, you know, it's a beautiful marriage to me, man. I mean, we make a good amount of money, and we tour all over the world. So, man, you can't really ask for much. I mean, it's nothing really a major label can really do for me that I can't do for myself right now. I got videos on MTV, you know what I mean. I might not have you know, getting 1,000 spins a day on the radio, but I mean, what does that really matter when the label's paying for that anyway? So it's just like, you know, I got a real core fan base, a grassroots fan base, and I just keep feeding them, and they just keep growing. So I mean, like I said, man, unless the label gonna come give me like $5 million, it really doesn't make any sense, because I'm making a lot of money doing what I'm doing off the shows. We selling out on iTunes every day. This album gonna sell a lot, so we about to get a big check off this. So I mean, it's just like, man, it's like, you know, sometimes you gotta put your ego to the side and just be like, look, man, I'm an artist. This is what I do. I'm making a living off of this. I'm feeding my family off of this. I don't need to be within the in crowd of rap. I don't need to be standing next to this guy, that guy, and that guy, and be on. I don't need to be on your magazine cover. I don't need to come, whatever. It's like, you know, people that rock with me, they rock with me off of my sheer skill and just the fact that I'm a cool person. So it's just like, you know, I don't, nothing extra with me, man. If it ain't real love, then don't even have me come. You know what I mean? That's how I feel.
But what do you say to the haters on Robes?
Fuck every rapper in his entourage. Fuck up the stage and blow dirty smoke on his bodyguard. Nothing but cutlass is Cadillac coupes in my garage. Make foreign bread, get some morning head on the Autobahn. Fakes and smiling faces, they keep me motivated. And I got plenty fans, but I ain't shit without my haters. Know this pussy and you nodded through some bullshit across the table. But next shit, I still be rapping and he be fired from his label dead. Bitch, I'm in the mob, I always got a job.
I got plenty fans, but I ain't nothing without my haters. I ain't shit without my haters. I gotta have the haters. You know what I mean? If you ain't got no haters, man, you ain't doing something right, man. You know what I mean?
We feel like that.
For real. If everybody love you, you need to check yourself and think, like, man, something could be wrong. You know what I mean? If everybody love you and nobody hates you, I mean, it could be all over just like that, because they'll turn your back on you real quick. Mm. You know what I mean? So I just feel like, you know, you gotta be some type of opposition, man, you know? Gotta be some type, you know, or, you know, it ain't as sweet when you get to the top.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Raekwon is on that song.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Raekwon is on there.
How did that was a nice smile. How did that happen?
Oh, man, Raekwon, you know, we got, like I said, that's another thing. We got mutual friends. My homeboy, Dominican H, you know, he a Brooklyn dude, and, you know, he helped me get Ray on the record, you know. And me and Ray, we did a little small tour together, like, I think a year and a half ago. And we just developed a rapport from there, and you know, ever since then, we just hit it on the head. He asked me to do a record a while ago. I gave him this record, and it was simple, man. And, you know, that's how I love it, man. That's why I love guys like Ray, because they'll make you deal with the industry politics to do a record, man. You know what I mean? And that's one thing I hate. Like, you know, I got to talk to this person, talk to that guy. I got to get it cleared. And I don't want to deal with all that when I'm doing my music. Like, if we want to do music, let's just do music without all the red tape. You know, and guys like Raekwon and Scarface, they made that possible for me without all the red tape.
28 days later, we all getting fresh. Got the heart to die for something, flesh to flesh. The Lambo powder outside, it's a stretch. My bitch half Mexican, Afghan, I'm blessed. From living tough times with rough levers, a gorgeous watch. A team on a dreadful level, yo. Yeah, we still getting money right. Long as the sun come out, I hold his money sight. Getting fresh, just cooling my bitch on my dick. But boo, yo, you live with your moms, just get a grip. Clip in my pocket, a rocket. I think of the dips, I need jewels and gems with rough flicks. Trips to Africa, shorty tear sacks up. I'm out in Bombay, rebels here acting up. We real OG, 7,500 of us. Up in the Sprinter bus, fussing, we need more heat.
You know who I heard on there? I love what Raekwon did, but I just kept hearing Havoc and Prodigy. I was like, man, this just sounded like bro. So just tailor-made for my
beat. I'm about to be remixing a lot of this album, mm-hmm. and I've already did one remix that of the joint Nyx mm-hmm. that I'm going to get, I got Action Bronson, my homeboy Ransom on there. I don't know if you're Ransom from New Jersey. Shout out to Ransom. I got Troy Ave on there. Mm-hmm. My homeboy Rob White on there, you know what I mean? So I rock with all New York cats on that thing. So I'm definitely going to remix a couple more joints and try to get the mob on there. I rock with Prodigy. Prodigy, the homie. Shout out to Prodigy. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? It's all love, man. You know, like I said, man, I just like working with cats that I, you know, came up listening to and respect, you know?
I love, what's it, Broken with Scarface?
Correct, yeah.
Yo, you, man, you know that song touched me because, you know, how you started off.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, you put it out there.
Yeah, that's real, man. I mean, you know, I'm, you know, the Islam is something that I, you know, definitely can relate to. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I definitely had to throw that in there. And, I mean, that record, man, I really poured it all out on that record. Yeah. You know what I mean? I've never done a record like that. I think that that's the most open, honest record that I've ever done. And, you know, I just, man, I listen to it and, you know, it can bring me to tears listening to that record.
Me too.
And it's my record. And I be like, you know what I mean? And then when I hear Scarface on the end of it and he says, Fred, I'm on the same page. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's surreal because, you know, that's my favorite rapper. And to hear him on a record like that where I'm being, you know, just all the way open like that, man. Yeah. It's just real, man. I still don't believe it. You know, the album's out, the packaging is there, and I still don't believe he on the album.
If money was the root to what the evil is, it's a mandatory for me to live. I hustle harder than the next dude. Remember, everybody's out to get you. Niggas don't respect the living, let live. So I pack a 40 caliber, because that's how shit is. Out here, no fear, fuck feelings. Trigger man rule, that's the art of drug dealing. I'm trying to stack my money to the ceiling. No new friends, don't want to talk my old business. Sex on the beach, sipping Guinness with a bitch so thick, yeah, she can't take no dick. Imagine working graveyard shifts. Boss man steady talking that shit. A million a days for minimum wage. Work a nigga like a slave till they put him in his grave. Free, I'm on the same page.
7 days a week, I'm living in the bush. Yeah.
It's surreal, man.
I love that song. Yeah. And just, I think that, like, with a lot of your music, it feels like, you know, I don't know, you know, the story of your life, but it just feels like, you know, you speak about just the life in the sense like, yo, to the limit, I have to live it, you know, because that's just what the surroundings may be or whatever. But, right. You know, it comes across like you, there's, and that's it's sort of a price to pay, but I don't think you put it out there like that.
Right.
It's just a way that I think you find, like, ways of not necessarily apologizing for it, but it's just, look, this is what it is. You know,
right. Like, it's like I'm not trying to glorify it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I'll tell you about it, but I'm not, like, it ain't, you know. It ain't cool to get in shootouts every weekend, you know what I mean? But, you know, so I kind of got to give you both sides of the coin with that, you know what I mean? But at the same time, I got to give you both sides of the coin when it come to, you know, messing with certain females, when it come to dealing drugs, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's pluses to all of that, but it's plenty of minuses. And, you know, I feel like, you know, somebody got to make note of that. You know what I mean? Pimp C said that, you know, before he died. He was like, yeah, it's cool to have fun and do all of this and ball on these records and all that. That is cool. But we got to add some type of social commentary to the records. You know what I mean? And, you know, when he said that, that really stuck with me. Mm. And, you know, ever since then, I've just been on a mission for that.
He said that to you, like, in a private conversation?
No. I wish. Oh. I wish. Nah, he said it in an interview.
Okay.
I wish. Oh, man. Man, I kill a rapper to bring Pimp C back. Take one of you guys out. Like, why we had to lose Pimp C? Why could we lose somebody else?
I don't think you're alone in that feeling.
For real, real talk. There's a couple guys that we could have pushed off a cliff just to get Pimp C back. I killed three rappers to get Pimp C back.
Warts and all.
For real.
Who was the inspiration for Shitsville?
Shitsville. You know what? This goofy rapper said something about me on Twitter. I ain't gonna even say his name because he ain't even worth publicity. But he was somebody that was signed to a major label, signed to a big rap cat. And like, he's nobody now. Like, the cat that signed him don't even rock with him. But I remember he said something to me on Twitter, something basically bashing me, man. And man, all it take for you to do is to spark, you know what I mean? That, to spark me off, man. I'm a calm guy, I'm a nice guy, I'm a, you know what I mean? But man, dude, when you push me to that level, man, and I just, you know, I let that all that rage and emotion just pour out, you know what I mean, on that record. And you know what I mean? And I just was tired of the things that I was hearing, you know, in the music, like guys perpetuating something that they weren't, you know what I mean? Like I say in that song, you know what I mean? Like I say, the society dare a nigga to do drugs and dare you to deal them, distribute and conceal them, you know what I mean? Like, and then I said, like, my niggas don't got no boats or no ports, how you think we get them? Like, it's guys out here talking about they meeting Pablo on the boat and all this, and you know what I mean? And, you know, just far-fetched stories, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, man, we don't, man, those drugs are getting dropped off in the ghetto every day, you know what I mean, to a guy that they think can sell them. You know what I mean? And they making their money and they looking down laughing at us. But we got to do what we got to do because we ain't got no other options. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I got to sell that pack of cocaine. You know what I mean? Because I don't have a job. You know what I mean? Or I don't have the correct training or the correct funds to get me the training that I need to get a good job and provide for my family. So, I mean, it's so easy to succumb to that. You know what I mean? And, you know, with that record, man, I just wanted to just pour all that emotion out, you know what I mean, and just show people the real side of the things, man, with that record. You know, Shitsville, that's where we was living at, man. We was really dipped in the shit, man, for real.
You wake up every day and pray before you sleep, right? You motherfuckers just like me. You shed tears when you hurt, and if I cut you, then you bleed, right? You motherfuckers just like me. But bitch, you acting like your shit don't stink. Bitch, you acting like your shit don't stink. Said you acting like the shit don't stink. Said you acting like the shit don't stink. Cheat on your girl, your wife, sneak out and fuck hoes. You motherfuckers just like.
Wow,
for real.
I like that record. It's really, it's I just think it's a real kind of like tongue in cheek, especially when you go, you know, just like me. It's right. Just like, I love that.
Right, man. It's just like, you know. We all the same, man. Yeah. You know, we all you know, live and born to die, man. And ain't no man greater than the next. And, you know, and you could be easily dipped into the shit just like me. You know what I mean? And it's just, you know, I just wanted to, like I said, I wanted to show that. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, I think that record kind of gives people a little bit of self-confidence, too. You know what I mean? It evens the playing field a little bit in life, I think. Yeah. You know?
I know the record just dropped.
Right.
Have you and Mad Lib talked about like part two already? I know, you know, it's a lot. You know what? It's a lot on it, but
the day of the record dropped, we was like, we ain't never doing part two. It's like we only way we gonna do part two, we gonna have to, you know, it's gonna have to build up a lot of hype. But it's just like I'm not really a fan of part twos and part threes and number this and number that out, because I just feel like it just take away from the first one, man. You know, if we do another record together, you know what I mean, it's definitely not going to be part two. It's probably going to be called something else. But, you know, hopefully we do that. You know what I mean? But right now, we're going to celebrate this. We're going to ride this one till the wheels fall off, because, you know, I think that we dropped a classic, man. And it's just something to be, you know, just put up there. You know what I mean? Like, I look at, you know, I was looking the other day at a lot of the records that got Five Mics in the Source, and y'all got a record in there. It's Outkast, you know what I'm saying, a couple other people, man. And I was just like, man, I gotta do something on that level, you know what I mean, before I check out, you know what I mean, the game. Because, I mean, I could easily sit up and, you know, rap on all these, I mean, whatever they call it, trap beats, you know what I'm saying, that everybody, you know, I've definitely done that throughout my career and on a lot of my, you know what I mean, records or whatnot. But I just wanted to do something that was going to sit by itself, you know what I mean, no matter how people took it or, you know, if it was critically acclaimed or not, I didn't really care. I just wanted to do something like, okay, nobody else did this year.
Yeah.
Or nobody else is going to do this year.
The way it starts off, what's the name of the intro?
The Supplier.
The Supplier. Mm-hmm. That just it sets the tone right there. It's just it's like, yo, this is serious. It's
right.
Like stop this, everything. Let me really listen to this album.
Yeah, the whole record is like, man, it's like a blaxploitation film. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I grew up watching those, you know, blaxploitation films like Black Caesar and Superfly and things of that nature, man. And when I listen to Madlib beats, I told him when we started working on it, I was like, man, when I listen to your beats, that's the mold that I get in. You know, I think of that blaxploitation, you know, Ron O'Neill type stuff. You know what I mean? And you know, that's the sound I was looking for with this record.
They're supplying dope to the black and the Mexican communities.
If anyone's listening out there and they know Madlib, like he chops stuff up, so there's that familiarity of it, you know, and it definitely has his signature. But I think, you know, your voice and the painting that you put, you know, on that canvas, just like it's a good combination.
Yeah, definitely, man. I think that, like I said, I don't think he made nothing this gangster before in his career.
Yeah, I don't
think so.
You
know what I mean? And I don't think there's no gangster rappers that rap as good as I rap. Honestly, I mean, like, you got a lot of guys that can tell you about the street. They be like, yeah, shawty, we got a bag, we doing this, we bang. But nah, man, like, I don't think nobody brings it across as intelligent as I do, you know what I mean, from my standpoint, you know what I mean? And, I mean, it just can't out-rap me, flat out.
What do you think as a gangster rapper, you know, is one supposed to take away from the music?
You know what, I hear, like, a lot of people say, oh, man, gangster rap, man, the subject matter, how many times you gonna bang, bang, shoot them up, sell drugs on the records and this, that, and the other. I mean, but dog, that's where I'm from, man. You know what I mean? I rap about that because, you know, that's what I seen coming up. Mm. You know what I mean? I mean, I know that the subject can get redundant, but at the same time, you got to think of new ways to flip it, new ways to bring it across to them each time. And that's what I did with Cocaine Pinata. Everybody can sit up and talk about selling drugs or banging and gang banging and all of that. It's just the way you bring it across, man. You know what I mean?
What do you think is missing in hip hop now?
Diversity. I think that everybody's doing the same thing and everybody's trying to jump on one bandwagon and everybody trying to be in one big clique. So, nah, just the diversity, I think.
You got some of this new generation on here, though. Earl and Danny and Ab and... How do you decide who?
Earl and Damo, those are my homies. I mean, the whole Our Future, I'm cool with them. You know what I mean? They some weird little dudes. So, you know, they come by the house and, you know, this whole record was made organically, man. It was just people at the house doing verses, you know, whoever wanted to come through and rock. Mac Miller came through and rocked. That was love. You know, it was just the homies. It's a homie fad album, you know what I mean? Me and Madlib, homies. Everybody that jumped on the record was my homie, Scarface, Raekwon, so it was all love.
What about BJ?
BJ, too. I just talked to BJ, too. BJ, I mean, me and BJ always work together. BJ from Chicago, so that's a given. That's, you know, that's hands down.
So that song, Shame, he, like, sounds sampled? I think it's the best he's ever sounded.
Yeah, man. A lot of people ask me, was that a sample? I'm like, no, that's BJ.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, BJ is great. Yeah. A lot of people sleep on BJ the Chicago Kid. Shout out to BJ the Chicago Kid. He definitely got one of the best voices in 100%. The game, period.
Yeah.
It's like, how would you describe that record, though? I mean, it's nostalgia, but not from your point of view. Right. And
man, that was actually one of the first records that we did off the album or whatnot. So, it was just, I mean, that sample was just so smooth. It was like, what could I rap about but girls on there? You know what I'm saying? It was so smooth. And then BJ just came in and killed it. You know what I mean? I to be honest, I sang it first, and then he came over there and re-sang it for me. So, you know, I did a little reference. But don't sleep on my singing skills.
I would like to hear that, but also I'm very glad that BJ came.
Yeah, don't sleep on my singing skills.
gotta take that walk now, baby. Yeah.
It ain't gotta be the walk of shame, baby. And it's only if you know the game, baby. Later, I can't be the one to blame, baby. But for now, take the walk of shame, baby.
Yeah.
It ain't gotta be the walk of shame, baby.
No, it's only if you know the sad game, face, baby.
Sleeping with pistols under my pillow. Yeah, make she up naked, twisting up, sick of
rhythm. What's the line you're most proud of off the album?
The line that I'm most proud of off the album, oh, man, it's quite difficult. Every rap is like my baby. probably the line on Broken in the end when I say, 7 days a week I'm living in a rush. 7 grams of rock, I stuff them in my nuts. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was like, you know, a real line. Like I was talking about my pops, like how he, you know, his infidelity with my mom and things of that nature. You know, how that rubbed off on me. You know what I mean? Like seeing your pops with a bunch of different women. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when you get grown, it's gonna be hard for you to stay married or be with one woman. You know what I mean? It's difficult. You know what I mean? Especially you know, with all the fame and the money and things of that nature. You know what I mean? It's hard. You know what I mean? And I say that on the record. I'd be like, you know, running through groupies and boppers. I guess I got it honest. You know what I mean? But honestly, I know I'm out here fucking up. 7 grams of rock stuff in my nuts. I got bad traits from my father. I got bad traits from my uncles selling drugs. You know what I mean? I mean, you heard them on the record. You know, I took, you know, a lot of good things I took from them, but I took a lot of bad things from them, and I applied them to the streets. And you know what I mean? And this record is a display of that. You know what I mean? But I'm man enough to know now that, you know, those are transgressions, and now I'm, you know, all about progression.
I have I can't remember the exact 3 words, but what was it you said? I was like, I got to get a definition. Is this something jug? A jug?
It's hot, crazy. Hot water
hot
jug.
Hot water jug. What's a hot water?
It's crazy. Shout
jug.
Out to Egon, because Egon asked me about that too. I said, if I never sell a record, might catch me hot water jug. And that's, I mean, you know, that's cooking crack. Got the jug with the dope in it at the stove. Hot water. Let's get it cracking. Literally, let's get it cracking. I definitely brought a couple new slanguage terms to this album too. So
yeah, I'm gonna have to go back in and listen for some more. But yeah, I was like, that one caught me. I was like, what a jug.
Yeah, hot water jugging. There's a lot of guys out there hot water jugging, man. So you know, they know what's up.
I mean, I feel pretty good about everything we've got.
I'm blessed to be here right now. I'm blessed to be in the room with you right now, man. I'm like, when I walked in here and saw you was here, I was like, what? I had to go to the bathroom and just like, what's going on, man? So it's just, you know, man, man, everything's a blessing from God, man. That's how I look at it. Every day is a gift, man. And, you know, I woke up this morning, it's a gift, man. You know, sent my mom some money yesterday, it's a gift, man. I'm able to provide. You know, I'm not on the corner. I'm not in nobody's jail cell. Mm. You know, I ain't out here got 10 women chasing me for child support. I pay my taxes. You ain't gonna never hear, oh, Freddie Gibbs owe $3 million in taxes. Nah, ain't gonna be none of that. You know what I mean? I'm living a real, how can I put it? Man, my life is in order right now, man. That's how I can say it, man. And I went through so many years of my life not being in order, and like, you know, for it to be in order right now, man, it's a blessing, man. I'm speechless, man. I like my mom, she look at me and shed a tear now, because I mean, 5-10 years ago, you know, you didn't know what path I was, you know, gonna go down, or you know, where I was gonna wind up, because everything that I was doing, I was losing at it, man. Mm-hmm. I was losing, man. I went to college, played football, lost that. You know, went to the military, which I didn't want to do. The judge made me do that. But, you know, I lost that. I got kicked out of that, you know, being insubordinate. Every job I ever had, I lost. You know, it's like nothing really worked for me at all, man. And it's the first thing in my life that I won at, you know what I mean? And I'm winning at. And, you know, I'm definitely not going to take it for granted at all.
We've been talking to a lot of people who sort of have reached the point that you're at. And then the music, it's like you can hear it. And it's never people saying, like, I'm the best. I can tell you how to be the best, be yourself, or whatever. It's less direct than that, but it just comes out more clearly.
Yeah, definitely. I think I'm the best rapper. Honestly, that's my opinion. If I don't think that, how can I sell it to you? You know what I mean? So, you know, but, you know, I let the music speak for itself. I let the lyrics speak for themselves. I don't need to, you know, profess that all the time or tweet it or anything like that, man. If you can do what I do lyrically, then do it. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think that I don't think it's nothing that anybody else does lyrically out there that I can't do. You know what I mean? It ain't nothing that challenging to me. So I think that I made a lot of rappers scratch their head with this record. Mm. You know, and I know that for a fact because they was calling my phone and telling me and texting me. And a lot of them was asking me for Mad Lib number. Yeah. And I'm like, nah, man, get it out the yellow pages. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I just threw a monkey wrench in the game, I think. And you know what I mean? But watch how many labels and, you know, these majors and things of that nature. Watch how many of my techniques they try to steal. Watch how many of my techniques they try to incorporate with their artists. Mm. You know what I mean? So really, you know, whoever come out with an album sounding like this, they need to give me a check. But somebody's definitely going to try to duplicate it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, but you know they're not gonna be able to do it though.
Stay on your grind though.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank y'all so much. I really appreciate y'all having me. It's a humbling experience. I appreciate y'all. Thank y'all so much.
You're in New York City, sold out.
Sold out NYC. We sold out in LA too.
That's what's up.
Sold out Chicago. We selling it all out. Everything's sold out.
Well, I won't say break a leg. That one always throws me when people say break a leg.
Nah, don't break a leg.
I'm like, I don't know how to take that. I know it's show business, but right. I'm going to say just have the best trance that you can ever have since when you go into trance, when you're on stage.
Definitely get the trance.
That's what's up.
Man, appreciate it, big homie. That's love.
Thanks. Yeah.